Realms of peril and glory will begin after these short messages.
Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's Journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's Journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
We'd like to thank our fabulous patrons, Sam Langford, Peter Williams, and Ang Harrod, for their support in making this series possible. If you'd like to join them and get ad-free listening, bonus shows, and a whole heck of a lot more, as well as keeping the lights on here at Realms of Peril and Glory, then why not head over to patreon.com/lightandtragic, where you can get all these fabulous perks and more. Again, patreon.com/lightandtragic. Welcome one and welcome all back to Realms of Peril and Glory. My name is Zachary Fortescum and I will be your game master today. Joining me are three fantastic players for a continuation of our liminal game. Starting from Liz and going counterclockwise around the table, please can you introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Liz Campbell and today I'll be playing Margaret Holt, otherwise known as Mags, who is a werewolf struggling with being a werewolf.
Hi, I'm Pip Gladwin, and today I will be playing Declan Buchanan, who is not a werewolf struggling to be a werewolf, just a man struggling to be a man.
With antlers.
Sometimes.
Hi, I'm Naomi, and I will be playing Montgomery, aka Monty, and he's not struggling with anything. Just fitness
just
nuggets in my mouth.
Generational trauma.
That's just life, kids.
We are, of course, back in Liminal London with the game Liminal by Paul Michener, distributed by Modiphius. If you want to check the game out, there's a link, of course, in the podcast description. But as always, before we get started, we are going to head over to Naomi for this week's London Fact.
London Fact.
So this week's London Fact is, did you know that the first traffic light was in London? Mm-hmm. And it was only in place for a couple of months before it exploded and killed the police officer.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's very sad, but also kind of funny.
So it was put in the 1860s.
Oh, you're going to say the 80s. I was like, that's too late to be exploding.
No, the 1860s. And it had semaphore on it, so you could see it in the dark because the gas lamps that did the lights were not bright enough. And then they didn't get another one after that one exploded until the 1920s. Oh.
Thank you very much, Naomi, for your fantastic London fact.
London fact.
London fact.
London fact.
So last we left off, our characters were given a letter by the Extreme Witch who told them to uncover the fate of one Flora Waldron. After Max did the sensible thing and Googled the name Flora Waldron, you then found that Flora Waldron, in fact, was dead.
Bum, bum, bum.
And that is where we left off. So we will continue now. You find yourselves back in Declan's offices, having just discovered that Flora Waldron is dead.
That's a bit of a bummer, isn't it?
Can I scroll through? Is there any hint as to what happened?
According to
the Facebook, there is nothing evident about, like, you don't just type on someone's Facebook page, oh, sorry you got run over by a bulldozer.
No, but sometimes you can get a sense of, like, oh, you know, they were sick or something like that.
Tragedy.
Yeah,
it certainly you see a certain, you know, taken before their time, what a loss. There's nothing pointing you towards the evidence that they were unwell or sick. It seemed quite sudden. A lot of people expressing surprise. Yeah.
Okay.
If it's, seems like people are surprised about it, so it doesn't sound like it's a murder.
Sorry, can you say that word again?
No.
When did she die? When did the condolence messages start?
It seemed to have happened about... It started appearing about a year-ish after your murder investigation happening.
So this is 4 years ago or something.
Essentially.
Okay.
I'm not saying that I don't take everything that happens on the internet immediately at face value, but is there any possibility that she faked her death or whatever?
I mean, who knows? We're going to need more information.
Can I Google for like an obituary?
Yeah, yeah. You Google the name and obituary and it comes up. It's in the local paper down in Cornwall from where their parents are from, not from a London newspaper or anything like that. And it just said Flora Waldron, fine arts student, sadly passed away in an unfortunate accident and will be sadly missed by her parents and in loving memory of her brother.
If I scroll down the Facebook page,
yeah.
Do I see someone who has either posted more than once or the post seems overly long and descriptive?
I want to be clear also, when Monty says that he scrolls through the Facebook page, I'm still holding my phone and he's just, it's just, there's arms in front.
Yeah,
there's
for sure.
You've got a finger in and it just kind of...
Yeah.
I always do.
Nothing strikes you as being overly long? Is there something specific you're looking for?
Because it's Facebook, there's always one person who's like, this is a tragedy really about me, who if I immediately message and was like, oh my God, I knew him, they're immediately going to tell me.
That's a good strategy.
Right?
That's actually a really good strategy.
Yeah.
For sure. You definitely see someone who like goes on a bit about how close they were to Flora, how much they loved her, her best friend. And if you go into that Facebook profile, you will see that in the subsequent years, she graduated from the same course that Flora was on.
Which was at the University of Arts London?
Correct, yeah.
Ah, I'm so good at this.
The fine art course. Specifically.
Yeah.
Damn.
I've got a friend that works there.
Of course you do.
So what were you going to be doing?
I pick the most irritating looking member of my peers.
Mm-hmm.
And I send a message from mine to her basically like, hey, I'm real sorry. I just seen about this. We were at holiday camp together when we were seven. And she told me that you were like well steep. And... I can't believe that she's gone. We were like so close. Do you know what happened? And I'm sure it's something like Lacey or
Kelly.
Yeah. Charm. Let's do charm.
So that is 8.
Yeah, that's definitely enough for you to charm this very eager to talk to you person.
Deeply vapid individual.
Deeply vapid individual. I think you send the message. It's about 11 in the morning. I think you see that it goes on red and you don't get an immediate response back, but it's possible something will come through for you at some point soon.
Fuck you, Zach. I mean, yeah, sure.
I'm right. Sorry that I want to deliver it at a slightly later time.
It's okay. I was so clever.
It's very clever just because I'm delaying.
But I want it now.
My immersion.
Your immersion's broken by someone not immediately responding to your message.
Generally, yeah.
What a charmed fucking life you must live.
I'm very impatient.
So, Pip, what are... You were saying you wanted to do something.
Yeah, I think back then, while these two are, I imagine, sort of vaguely squabbling over Mags's phone for a bit.
Yeah.
Monty, get off. Get... You have your own phone.
Look, the... I don't have the same emojis you got, and girls are less threatening. Everybody knows that.
Facts.
Girls are less threatening.
Declan's going to sort of, yeah, just step away. Not leave the room or anything. Just kind of step away from those two. And he's going to take his phone out and he's going to open his little contacts thing. And it's a meager little list of numbers, honestly, in this phone.
It's like Mags, Monty's phone, Monty's other phone, you can see Monty's third phone.
They're all blocked.
Big red blocked letters next to them.
Yeah, there's like there's a woman's name in there that our audience do not recognize.
No. He
scrolls down to the name Sajid Patel, and his thumb kind of hovers over the button a little bit, and then he calls.
I want you to roll me a charm.
Mm-hmm. Just if they even fucking answer.
Yeah, really, genuinely.
Luckily, I have nothing in that skill.
Yeah.
So that's is that 2d6 with a minus, I believe, for having nothing? Is
no,
that
I do
works?
Believe it's flat.
Just flat? Okay.
I want you to take a minus one.
Thank you.
And you're trying to hit a 10.
Easy. Done. Watch this.
Nope.
That's a 5.
It rings. It probably rings twice before the phone actively is
doesn't even go to voicemail.
Yeah, call rejected. No voicemail, nothing.
And I think Declan just kind of stands there, just like phone comes as that cuts out, just sort of comes down and looking down and just kind of goes, yep. Pockets it. Turns around to the others.
Right, so what have you got? What's happening?
Well, right, I got some background, but I've also got a cousin at University of Arts. She's doing a temp job what was it? I think it's admissions.
Right. Can you call them? We'll get moving. I don't have a better lead than that right now.
I'm not got a voice caller. I sent her a text like 50 minutes ago.
Fine. Did they get back to you?
I just turned the phone around and it's just pages of emojis.
Sorry, this is your cousin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Stare at them.
it's like cracking a code from ancient Sumeria to you. All the mountains just mean steep.
See that? That actually makes sense. And you know what? I hate that it makes sense. Let's go.
And we boost to the campus.
Yeah, absolutely. So you boost over to the Elephant and Castle campus of the University of the Arts, London. Where are you headed once you get there?
So we're going to head to admissions, which is essentially just inside. It's not too difficult to find.
Excellent.
What time of year is it?
This is probably around summertime, probably somewhere between July and August, I think.
Okay, so it's pretty empty. Yeah. There's not a lot of actual admissioning happening.
Yes.
It's chill.
Well, you say that. They're probably like midway through like sorting out all their new
campus tours.
Do they do that here?
Yeah, they're incoming students.
That is very optimistic of you.
So you head straight to the admissions department and you find yourself in front of just a receptionist for the admissions department who is kind of doing her nails gently.
I walk right past her and I'm like, Rodney! Rodney, you little bastard!
Oi, Monty!
God, it's just the familiar ring of a barker bellow that kind of just... anywhere. It's like a mating call, like from a distance. So you just like,
hey, Monty, what are you doing?
The boys are back in town.
Oh, fuck. What have you been up to, mate?
Bro, you wouldn't even fucking believe.
Oh my God, you gotta tell me about it.
I look at the other two and I'm like, I'll give you the lowdown later.
Declan's definitely still at the desk of the woman that you walk past, just kind of being like, I'm sorry, they're family or something.
It's fine.
She's like, I don't care.
I didn't ask. I don't particularly care.
real good temp energy.
Where are you from?
I'm from California.
Why are you here?
Great.
This is my summer job. Oh. I stay here over the summer.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Got to get away from that sun.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. How are you finding London?
Honestly, I love it. So I can just get on the tube and go anywhere. Like, oh my God, I've got to drive everywhere in California. Like, if I want to go to dinner, it's like 2 hours drive minimum.
It's just like you live anywhere else and it's fine. You don't even realize. Then you come here and it's like, oh wow, okay. Public transport can be like this.
Like, you know, you can just get, I'm in Soho and I can drink with my friends. Like, you know, I'm going to like this cool bar. It's like called, like Weatherspoons.
Yep. Where's her spoons?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen Declan make small talk with someone.
I mean, I was joking. It just span out. I don't know. Declan snaps out of it and it's like, fuck you.
I'm just playing. That was just improv chicken, I think.
I think that's what that was.
Yeah.
Just forcing Zach to create a character that was clearly meant to not be a character.
Yeah.
I think that while this is happening, in the background, we can just see the boys and they're doing like a break dance tournament.
Yeah.
In between. No, they're not. The boys are, they've got the fire extinguisher and the rolly chairs.
Holy fuck.
And they're just like, they're setting up, like the taping is still happening.
I love the idea that the second you show up, he's just fired.
As you're like, taping up your cousins.
We're temps for a reason.
Yeah, temporary means temporary.
I found like a notice board to pretend to look at and ignore everything else that's going on.
Yeah, while we're doing that, Sitz is running, telling us what the dealio is. As much as we can.
Mate, what do you want? What do you want?
All right, so there's this bird, right?
Yeah.
And she's involved with Nana Barker stuff.
What?
And she's dead, innit?
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
I didn't know her. But I need to find out what's up with her. She was here. She was a student.
Oh, I'm getting quite a lot of trouble for that.
And not the fucking wheelie chair fire extinguisher racing.
It's the middle of summer. I'm a completely different accent. It's the middle of summer. Like, I'm not going to get in trouble for fucking about. Everyone's fucking about. You've seen half the department's fucking gone. But if I'm not accessing student records.
You're a fucking liar. Login,
I'm not a fucking liar. Look, I'm not saying I won't do it. I want Chantal's number.
Kids, literally anyone has access to your student records, including your home number and your address, with almost no oversight. I don't know how to tell you. Like, I've called children's homes before to be like, you posted something in the WhatsApp group that made other children upset. You can just do whatever the fuck you want with those numbers. You can go to their house. You can send the police to them. Nobody cares.
Oh, God.
Sorry, that was dark, but like...
Look. I'm not saying I won't do it, but I want Chantal's number.
Ooh. Poor Chantal. So many calls.
She fucking loves it. That's a steep price.
It's for a steep go, isn't it?
If you win the wheelie race.
It's on.
We're like... wheelie chairs, fire extinguishers.
Yeah. Are you guys doing anything else?
Just like, I've just gone and standing next to Mags, pretending to look at this.
The thing is,
board.
We've been here so many times before, and I think the path of least resistance and just allowing Monty, because Monty will get the information.
Just gotta do it my way.
Just me and Declan, shoulder to shoulder, staring blankly at this notice board. just...
It just like papers just go fucking in the air.
Yeah, no reaction.
Roll me athletics.
Oh, yeah.
Get an 8.
Will a 9 do?
Yes, a 9 will do. Right, you win. You win the race. And she's like, all right, but can I still have Chantal's number?
I'll give you half of it. I give him the first half and I say, you can have the second half when you give me that 50 quid you fucking owe me.
Oh, fuck it. It's fucking bet. They say it's a
plus 4407. I'm done.
Yeah.
And they say it's a paid internship, mate, but let me believe you, it's not fucking much. So we'll owe you that 50 quid another time. Right, what's the name you're looking for? And fires up a computer that looks like it's circa 1998.
Waldron Flora.
Waldron Flora hits enter and comes up information about Flora Waldron.
I have done my part of this particular experience, which is getting us in. So I now call over the others to do the actual thinking bit.
I squint through the mist of chemicals that is now everywhere in this room.
There's no ventilation.
Declan walks in, he's just covered in fire, in like foam from a fire extinguisher.
It's lucky that Monty is wearing a lime green tracksuit because he's the only visible dot in the distance.
I would like my lime green tracksuit to have like that EL wire so that it lights up.
Oh yeah.
You can do like little ray flashing.
Yeah. You spend a lot of money on like really tacky clothes.
Yeah.
But like, expensive tacky clothes.
I look so good though.
Sure.
Steep girls love it.
Okay, yes, I will come in, scrape a layer of fire extinguisher foam from my face have a look at this information, I guess. Yeah, I'm sort of imagining Declan kind of like leaning down over this, like in over the side of this cousin of yours and just like, I have the keyboard and the mouse now, I am looking, basically. What do I find?
I will give you two choices. Education or technology.
Ooh, interesting.
Mags, you can also do the role.
I assume... I mean, and you can correct me, Pip, because I don't want to make judgment.
I
assume Declan
is
the kind of guy that types with two fingers, like only index fingers.
Declan like leans in. It's like, I'll take it from here, and comes in and like, and then we just see from the back. We just see like probably about like 8 solid seconds of just like silence and clicking, and then
I don't. How do you?
And then I just turned to Mags.
I've closed the window.
It's gone. How do I get it back?
It's minimized.
Where the fuck did it go?
I'll lean over and gently shove him out of the way.
Yep. Excellent.
With your werewolf strength.
my gentle werewolf.
Flung through a wall.
Out the window.
All right, I'm going to make an education roll, and I get +2 for the bookworm trait.
Ooh, not great.
8.
I'll give you an 8. You know, the information's laid out in front of you. It's not that hard. What specifically are you keeping an eye out for?
Well, I know meta-wise you're withholding this information, but clearly we want to know how she died, what she was up to. Presumably if she died that long ago, she might well have been a student here.
Yep, she was absolutely a student here.
We know that. We know they both went here.
Yeah, but at the time is my point.
When she died?
Yeah. So
she was a student.
Okay, so there's likely, one would hope, to be some kind of note in the university. I don't know, welfare provisions at universities are an issue that we will be fundraising for at the end of this episode. don't give to Patreon, only... No. Did she visit the... mental health services in mm-hmm. the university? Was she part of any clubs or anything that might help us find people? Like, what does her record say, basically?
The records essentially paint a picture of someone who was an excellent student who, after a loss, went downhill.
Yeah.
She was reached out to multiple times by university staff for support, did access the mental health services at the university, but ultimately did not appear to be making that much of a recovery. There is a note in the, because it does say that she's dead in this, and where it says that, it says a police report has been filed by one inspector, Marcus Wesley.
Mags immediately twigs. That's the P Division detective that came to the Lambeth Cooperative flat to deal with Owen's death.
So it's not like a regular cop.
Well, yeah,
was there?
It's peep. Yeah, Mags is a bit taken aback. The clicking stops for a second. Well, it's Petervision.
It's a magical death.
Declan, do you happen to know a Marcus Wesley?
I'll let you roll.
Okay.
There, I will let you roll. What do you want to roll?
I mean, if it's someone that there's a possibility I could have known while I was in Petervision, it could just be luck.
Yeah, I'll let you roll.
Like, rather than me making a streetwise roll to see if
I would like you to make a streetwise roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not going to tell you why, but I would like you to roll streetwise. And there's some basic information I'm going to tell you, regardless of how you roll.
Okay.
It's just how much you know.
3, 4, 5, 6, 8.
You definitely worked in some capacity with this officer, probably at a similar-ish level to you when you left. Maybe a bit higher, maybe slightly higher up in the food chain than you were when you started. What you know about this guy, he was inspector at the time, probably similar level to you on the fast track to being promoted up. You know that he got a couple promotions quickly when you got into the force.
Right.
He seemed to be close and spent time with higher members of the force, higher ranking members of the force, of the police service, of specifically P Division. With an 8, which isn't that great.
No.
You always had some suspicions about this guy, but nothing that you could prove. You always thought he might have been a bit...
He's corrupt.
Corrupt or...
Corrupt or just like, he's got...
An arse licker.
You know, he's on the fast track. He's got someone's...
You could never quite tell. You could never quite tell if it was like favoritism or like family relations or some kind of posh privilege shit.
Okay.
Maybe he's born with it. Maybe it's corruption.
Or maybe it's corruption. Exactly. You were never quite sure, but something just was a bit fishy about the guy. But that's what you can remember.
Okay.
I mean, he was all right with me when Owen died.
I mean, he wasn't a bad guy.
Sounds like he was a proper tuna sandwich.
What does that mean? Conversations with you are so exhausting, Monty. I just... You know,
you
and
can
you've
call
been,
it a haggis sandwich been, if that makes it easier.
That's racist. Honestly, you've been so practically invaluable to this whole enterprise of ours. You know, and that.
You know what? I love you too.
All right, but you've got so much to offer. It would seem. And I just want to understand you when you speak. And that's it. And it honestly feels like you're actively making a choice.
Well, I don't know, because Monty just got us the information we needed. So I'm just saying, Declan, maybe you should be putting the work in.
Again, wasn't suggesting that Monty had not made a contribution. I merely suggested that perhaps he could try to speak a little. You know what? Fuck it. Doesn't matter.
I give Mags a little nudge and I'm like, nice, but also, Jesus Christ. Pick a man while he's down and he's so far down.
I ignore it and keep scrolling.
Yeah.
Okay.
I go outside and have a cigarette.
Fair.
It's covered in chemicals, it doesn't light. It's just a fire retardant. You're so fire retardant, every bit of you.
Just go outside and have a good cry, I think. Just find a corner somewhere and just really let it all out.
Well, you still have access to this information. Is there anything else you're actively looking
actually, no, for? I'm fully going off the rails. Do I know where this fucker's stationed?
Oh, you could very easily find this person.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I look like I'm going out for a cigarette and I leave and I head for that police station.
Great.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% back at hundreds of stores, and it's all happening this week, May 6th to May 13th. It's the perfect time to shop for everything on your list for spring and summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. I know I'm using this week to stock up on some warmer weather essentials at Ray-Ban and Ulta, and I love that Rakuten even helps me save on travel at sites like Hotels.com. Rakuten really is the best way to shop, and you can save even more by stacking cash back on top of deals. Plus, during Big Give Week, that cash back is bigger than ever. With Rakuten, membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Shoppers get it.
Whilst that's happening, is there anything that you guys would like to do?
So, with this young lady's record, did she have a, like, thesis? In which case, she might have had a supervisor that we could talk to.
If she's a fine arts student.
She's got portfolio.
She has a portfolio. And she wouldn't have picked it up because of tragic demise. So.
I basically get Rodney to show me where the storage is, and we fuck off there. We use a ruler and a pair of scissors to break in, despite the fact that Rodney has a key.
Yeah,
don't give a shit.
I stand passively behind because, again, sometimes you just gotta wind Monty up and let him go.
Yeah, so there is a collection of former like works and things that are being stored. Obviously, this is a special circumstance where they're keeping hold of this, but you can sort through. It'll take you some time, but it will be an education check to find this.
Do I sound like an educated bitch to you?
No, but Mags is.
Monty doesn't think about other people. It's fine. So I get a bookworm bonus when it's researching in a library or the internet. Now,
I'll give it to you for this.
We'll allow an archive.
Yeah, an archive.
I mean, if it works for the Americans.
12.
Whoa! Okay, yeah. So you actually find a record sheet that is very well maintained.
Right.
And
I appreciate a well-maintained record sheet.
Librarians are the shit.
And you very quickly find the right row, the right area, and you see that there is this kind of large portfolio filled with watercolor papers and canvas. It's a folio, essentially. It's a portfolio, and you can grab it, open it. You're welcome to have a look.
I think, just to get the visual, because I think we need to go to an art room with the big long desks or something and lay them all out in sequence.
So you lay them all out in sequence, and it goes very quickly from watercolors of the city, a sketch of a homeless man, some self-portrait art.
So it's actually just a picture of Declan.
All pictures of Declan. We put them together and they form
a big... She thought she was drawing a picture of a homeless man, but it was just Declan.
And then the tone seems to get...
A
little darker, angrier as well. Then you see a sketch of Declan.
Oh, shit. For real?
I was kidding.
For real.
I just look right at Monty. First of all, is this a man with horns or is this just Declan?
Just Declan.
Okay, I look straight at Monty. That?
Oi, Declan! He's not here.
He's not there.
Shit!
Oh, fuck.
How long has he been gone? I sent him a text with just like...
He has blocked your number.
Blocked your number a
long
time.
Multiple times.
I still send it. I don't know that.
You can. Yeah, there's a group.
I sent you so many texts.
Yeah, I send him a picture of his own...
That's going to be like the emotional denouement of this, isn't it? It's going to be like when Monty's dead at the end of this campaign. It's going to be like Declan like unblocks the thing, and then all these texts come in, and they're just really supportive and just hey man, you know, you're around this weekend, you want to come? It's all just really beautiful stuff.
Yeah,
and he's going to cry.
Are you going to kill Declan?
Yeah.
Okay. And just question marks goes in the message.
Excellent. Do you send a photo?
Yeah.
Excellent. So you see two illustrations in this oil style, almost naturalistic. One is of a building. The other is of what appears to be some kind of stone. The stone is, it appears to have been broken off of something. It appears to be a corner of something.
So when we say stone, are we talking like gemstone or are we talking like masonry stone?
Masonry stone. And the masonry stone is inscribed with some kind of runes on it that neither of you can easily identify. But what you do see is that the building in question is of a building you've been to in Whitehall.
Vampire one.
Headquarters of the Sanguine Society.
Okay, so we've got Declan, Sanguine Society, and these runes, do they... I mean, Mags is not really the person to know, so I guess kind of hold to Monty. Like, can you at least, like, be like, ah, that's fey runes, lore. Or that's...
Lore.
That's some graffiti. That's a real Banksy. And now it's worth millions.
Thank you. Will Attend do?
Attend will absolutely
and,
do.
Plus two if it's Magical Society.
Yes.
Mm.
You get so 12. Mm-hmm. So these runes are 100% absolutely fey.
Okay.
And not only do they seem fey, the inscribing make them seem like they are incredibly, they seem ornate, they seem important, they seem royal.
Okay, so they seem like they weren't done by just any fey.
Not just any fey.
Yeah, okay.
There's like gold. It's like, you know, that Japanese style where
it's
you
sugi.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like that.
Just stepping back a second, the picture of Declan, is he doing anything?
No, it's a pencil sketch of his.
Is he in a uniform or is he in...
He is in a uniform.
Okay.
Whatever you would wear when you were on the job, you would. That is what...
I mean, it depends when.
He would
when
have it, a
when
badge.
Is this...
He would have a badge around his neck.
Badge at least, because if he was a detective inspector, then he would have been in a suit.
Yeah.
Identifiable.
Yeah,
he's got his Metropolitan Police.
He doesn't
badge
look
around
like
his
himself, essentially. He looks like the former man.
Looks less tired.
The building picture.
Yeah, I recognize it. So we got vampires. We got King of Wimbledon Common or Queen of Hyde Park, on best guess, or maybe a minor royal. Honestly, bleh. And we got Deckers.
Yeah, I mean.
That's a lot of pieces, I'm just saying.
Had Declan said that he'd met her when Ash died?
Yeah, I think he said he interviewed her.
Okay. And, well...
What's the date on the piece with Deckers?
I mean, if it's a picture of him then.
It would be dated after the death.
Yeah, okay, cool. That was all
around
I
the. It
know.
Would be dated around the time when the investigation was happening.
Wah, wah, wah. Yeah.
Okay. So, clearly... Whatever happened to her brother, she
was wrapped up in it.
Well, she it looks like she went digging in the hidden city.
Okay. So we knew he was involved with the Fae, because that's who killed him, and Deckers has got the headgear. So I understand her having like paintings of Fae shit, but bloodsucker stuff, that seems unrelated. And wait, this is like 9 months after he died, right?
Yeah, and about 3 months before she did.
So, I guess we got some questions for Sanguine Society.
We gotta show this to Declan. I'm going to snap some pictures on my phone, and I'm going to send all of it to Declan.
Solved my text puzzle.
I think I probably have noticed he's not come back.
Yeah.
And assume he might have gone off in a...
Yeah. We smash two. Declan, you get off the tube.
Mm-hmm.
You get off around Euston. Mm-hmm. And you know that the most P division specific stuff happens out of the police station at or near Euston. Oftentimes police will find themselves elsewhere, outposted in other stations, but this is very much the HQ of P division.
Yeah, so I kind of stomp from Euston towards what I know to be the P division station. And you hear a little like, yeah, pull my own fucking weight, all right, under Declan's breath. Walk up the steps and through the doors. What's going on inside as I walk in?
You walk straight into the station. You see, you know, it's your average busy police station. There are two officers at a front desk, and you see beyond that there are police officers milling about, working about. And yeah, you see the two officers see you, both you do not recognize at all. Young new recruits. Yes, sir. Hello. Can we help you?
I walk up. Hello. I've come to try and speak to Chief Inspector Marcus Wesley.
Right. If you can have a seat for us, we'll see what we can do. How do you know the Chief Inspector? Is he inspecting you?
I used to work for P Division. My name is Declan Buchanan.
Right.
We came up together. Just been trying to get in touch with
a friend.
Sure.
Excellent. Have a seat, sir. And we will get you when you're ready. As you have a seat down, that is when your phone ping comes up and you see those images come up for the first time. Is there anything you'd like to do with that information before we move forward?
Yes. I would like to make an empathy roll on this guy that I just spoke to about whether I'm, and I think assess personality kind of comes into this a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to know how fucking likely it is that this is going anywhere.
Yeah, roll it. Assess personality. Do it.
So that is empathy, which I have a surprising amount of. So that is... Oof.
Oh. What's that?
16. I would like to know how long I will be waiting.
To the second.
This is the thing. Will I speak to Chief Inspector Marcus Wesley today?
Is this even a real police officer?
As it stands right now.
I'm just trying to think what I can give you here, because that's an exceptional role. And I want to give you something that's worth
it. I feel like I know enough about how the bureaucracy would work and how if some dickhead just walked into a police station, dropped a name and like, you know, like Declan's not expecting this to work.
Yeah, you very much get the impression that the person does genuinely want to be helpful for you, especially because you said you were a former police officer. You notice that some bell was rung in their head when you said your name, but they didn't specifically know who you were.
Sure.
You get the impression that he is in the building.
Great.
But you get the impression that if he heard you were here, he probably would not want to talk to you actively. That's the information that you get from that.
Okay.
What you're missing as a listener is Liz and myself miming that Declan should instead go apeshit.
Don't preempt me. I had specific conditions for going apeshit, and you have activated them, sir. I think it's a combination of that, like sitting down and just kind of being like, this isn't happening as it stands. And then like bing, bing, texts from Mags and like seeing she's painted me, she's painted the Sanguine Society, she's painted this Fae stuff that I assume I would recognize as Fae.
Yeah, correct.
I don't know what it is, but like the picture, because if this is Queen of High Park, then If it's like a royal seal, if it's like a piece of it, I'll make a law check.
Without a roll, you can see the seal of the Queen of Hyde Park on there. I will give you that. If you want to make a law check, I'll let you.
Okay. 6, 7, 8, 9.
It's Monty did better than that, I think.
Looks like some fey shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does definitely look like some fey shit. You might have known. You feel like there's an empty hole where something like this might be in your head, but it's been so long and you've actively repressed so much of this that, like, you don't know.
Well, I need to speak to Marcus, or I at least need to give Marcus more of a reason to come and speak to me. So I'm going to stand up. I'm going to walk back over to the desk.
As you get up, you just were looking at your phone this whole time, and you see that approaching you, looking at you, and you nearly bump into them, is Sajid, who just looks at you and goes, "What the fuck, Declan?
All right.
Why are you fucking calling me and then showing up here?
I need to speak to Marcus. You remember Marcus Wesley? I hear he's a big deal these days.
Chief Inspector. Who you want to talk to. Good fucking Christ.
What? Can you get me in?
Oh, can I get you in? Yes, I can get you fucking in, but it'd be on my fucking head is being.
All right, well then I don't want to put you to any trouble, so.
What the fuck are you calling me for?
Look, I'm back on the Waldron case.
Fuck off, Declan. Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Declan, nothing is going to come of this. If you carry on like this, you're going to find yourself behind these fucking bars.
Can you put me in a room with him? Because if you can't, I'll put myself in a room with him.
I saw him leave 2 fucking minutes ago.
Do you know where he was going?
No, I don't know where he's going. Went out the back.
2 minutes ago.
He's walking?
Shit.
You want to chase after him?
I sprint out. I push past him.
Yep.
And I sprint out. Go
well.
You head out the door. And the first thing you see is about too far for you to run to in time. You see Chief Inspector Marcus Wesley board a tourist bus.
Yeah!
That stops near Euston.
Hop off bus.
Okay, so he's getting on and it's
moving. He's getting on and it's moving.
I start moving, and as I'm running, I get my phone out. And I open my contacts. And I scroll down and I unblock a number and I call Monty.
Monty, you're back at University of the Arts London and you get a call from a number that you thought was blocked on your phone.
Yeah.
What's the name that it's saved under?
Big Bad Decky Boy. And it's got Scotland.
Yeah. Scotland, antlers. Scotland, yeah.
Yeah.
Knuckle Great. Duster emoji.
Yeah. Declan's getting every missed text message.
Yeah,
I'm really struggling with, you know, my family situation. I don't really have someone to talk to. I'm really looking for like a male role model. Yeah.
Oh, Christ. I'm actively running while this is going on. Yeah.
Monty, I'm going to get off the phone with you and I'm going to work out how to drop a pin. I'm going to do that and you're going to bring the fucking van. All right?
All right, let's go.
Great. Yeah, bring Max.
And then I hang up. I hang up and I'm like, how do you drop a pin?
Fucking and I think there's a roll me a technology
sure,
check.
Let's do it.
That was at a volume that I could hear it even though it wasn't on speakerphone. It was just
Oh yeah, absolutely.
100%. I can spend will to do this, yes, right? I'm gonna does it just give you an extra
one?
Can I bless him with a +2 over the phone?
with a mystical weather.
Yes.
Some dank memes.
Fuck it, yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, you give me a +2.
Yeah, bless.
I'm still gonna spend a point of will. Look, this is important. I realize regardless of me doing this, you'll still want the story to progress.
Yes.
And they'll probably make it anyway.
Yeah.
But I want this to work. So 2 from you, 1 from me.
Yep.
Technology, no bonuses.
I've turned on the location services so I can track his phone like
9,
weeks ago.
12.
It's the
I made it. 12. I made it with the dice.
You drop a pin.
Yes.
You drop a pin to... Not only do you drop a pin to Monty...
Oh, no, I leave my target. I drop a pin at where I reckon I'm going to be by the time you can get here.
Wait, I'm where is stopping, that?
I don't know. Along that bus route.
What you drop is your active location.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the thing that I don't know how to do in real life.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You drop your active location, and it arrives with both Monty and Max.
Yeah, and we grab the appropriate art items. Nobody's checking.
They're
coming with us.
Okay. Do you really think that you have the van with you?
Yes.
Okay, great.
You trying to, like, unmake the van for plot reasons?
No, I'm not. I'm absolutely not. I'm just checking.
Yeah, no, I've got the van.
Great.
I've got the van because I actually, when I figured we were coming here, I had to pick up a sound system for Rodney that he's been unloading out of the back of the van. Excellent. The whole time we've been looking at other stuff.
Excellent.
But he still owes me 50 quid on it. Yeah. So.
You see that the bus is driving down Euston Road before turning left onto Tavistock Square.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Headed down to Holborn.
Yeah, I am busting this bad boy through. I'm breaking all of the laws because me and this van are equally forgettable.
Yes.
Not just in general, but as a character trait.
You fucking barrel across the Waterloo Bridge.
Sure.
I am trying to fasten my own seatbelt and Monty's seatbelt,
yes,
as the G-forces knock me from side to side.
Yep.
The rap is blaring, I assume.
Oh.
The back is still open. There's bits of a sound system just crashing into, like...
Oh,
other
my brain
traffic,
is, my brain is just
e-scooter kids.
This is the moment where, like, you do that, you plug, you strap your belt in, and you strap Monty's belt in, and you're going, and then suddenly you see, like, Rodney's in the back as well. It's just like, where are we going? Oh,
where are we going?
I was just picking up my audio equipment now, Christ!
Declan, meanwhile this is happening, what are you doing?
Just trying to keep up with this bus.
You just running.
You should get a Lime scooter.
I'm just...
Oh, fuck.
Get a Lime scooter.
You gotta download an app. You gotta...
You knock a tourist off a Boris bike.
You see an Uber Eats driver and you just sock him. Take that pizza
I don't think. I don't think I do. I don't think I do. I think Declan's just running. Given that this bus will be going slowly, mm-hmm, and it'll be pausing often.
Yes.
Like, this thing isn't racing through the streets unless this guy has somehow commandeered it.
It's a full sprint where you catch up to it just as it leaves a stop. And it's miles away.
Oh, I'm going to be broken by the time
you catch up to it as soon as
I'm
it
I'm going to be broken by the time they find me.
Roll me in athletics, please.
I will do that. 6.
You lose the bus. You lose the bus as it turns away from Euston.
Yeah, fair.
And you turn onto Tavistock. But it is barreling down Tavistock, and you can see it from a distance, but you could check where it stops.
No, we grab him by the back of the neck and pull him onto the van.
I mean, this might be overcomplicated, but you have already established that there is a magical avatar of London that is a black cab driver that appears when the city's in peril.
I have established that. I don't think the city of London thinks it's in peril.
Valid. I just wanted to, I'm just putting
that
ideas out.
If I really wanted to make it happen, I'd make it happen.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I just, in case.
Sorry, just a little reminder. I'm God.
If it was just saying, like, Lime scooter or magic, anyway.
No.
I guess if Declan's got to a point where he feels like he might lose the bus. I mean, that said, actually, if I'm just catching up with it, right, and then it's gone and I'm running after, the stops that it stops at will be, like, marked, right?
Yeah.
Correct. They have the route on them, right?
Correct.
So I stop and I check the route.
Panting, wheezing, sweating.
You see that this is a bus that stops by the British Museum. You see that it stops by St. Paul's Cathedral. It then stops by the Old Bailey, and it carries on down the Southwark Bridge and goes down that way.
Great. I will keep moving in that direction and hope that the others will find me.
Follow you. Yeah. Do you want to let them know what they're following? Because it's feasible that they could find this bus and follow.
That's true.
It's more fun if you're there.
Yeah.
I think that what happens is, as we get close, I unbuckle.
Yeah.
I tell Mags to Jesus take
follow
the wheel.
That bus.
Jesus, take the wheel. Yeah. I open the back, and I I basically yell out for Declan and try and grab him by the hand and pull him into the van.
And this is at least the third time that Monty has just arbitrarily let go of the wheel. That's just in the sessions we've played. I imagine it's happened a good dozen times off mic. Mag spends the entire time sitting in the passenger seat, just absolutely like tense and ready to pounce on that wheel as soon as he lets it go. So yeah, this is unfortunately well rehearsed.
Werewolf, take the wheel.
I really hope that that's the moment when you decide to change for the first time. So it's just this big wolf lady like driving this van.
He's chasing cars.
So you skid up. You reach out the car, you pull Declan into the back. Do you want to follow the bus?
Yes, I'll come up and like lean over the seat and next to the Mags and like point.
What's happening?
The tourist bus, follow it. Marcus Wesley's on it, pretty sure he's running from me.
Okay, yep. I mean, Monty's operating the pedals, so.
Yeah. You like Declan said, it's a slow moving, large target. You can keep, and you know where it's going. So you can follow it along.
Headed off at the pass.
Headed off at the pass to stop the bus, if you'd like.
Or we can chase it, which is funny.
Or you can chase it, or you can just get see ahead, where
just
he gets
get
off.
Get ahead of it. And
No.
Honestly, right now, it seems dumb, but it's like, when he gets off, where's he going to get off? He might get off somewhere he's got friends. I don't think he's got friends on that bus.
No.
So I think the plan is just get ahead of it, and then we get off and just before one of the stops, and we get on the bus.
Excellent. You roll me a vehicles check.
Well, I've got a 10, so it doesn't fucking matter.
You fucking weave in and out of traffic. How do you want to roll up on this bus, on this tourist bus?
So I think it's coming to, because we've already talked about it, a traffic light. And as basically it's going through on the yellow, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Light explodes and kills a policeman, specifically Marcus.
Marcus Wesley's killed by a...
End.
Amazing.
And I think that between me and Mags, we do a sick drift.
Yes.
Monty's like, sick! And I'm like, oh no!
Around the corner and just managed to pull up like in front of the stop.
Yes. And you do. You wheel up and the bus comes to a stop and the driver starts honking their horn.
I jump out of the back, head over, bang on the bus door.
Yeah, we just look.
Mate, what are you doing? Get out of the fucking way.
I'll be getting on, thanks.
Roll me a charm. I straight up tried to do this to a bus driver the other day.
And they were like, this is London.
They were like, no, get to fuck.
I'm not trying to charm him.
What are you trying to do?
Taunt?
Blackmailing
Open
this man.
The door.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I just force it. Like, I don't.
I'm not going to make you roll for that. You force the door open, and as you do, coming sprinting down the steps of the double-decker is Chief Inspector Wesley.
How close to him am I?
He is down, like, you know where the stairs are on a double-decker,
and I've just gone.
And you're at the front door. Yeah.
Right. All right, Marcus. You going to run?
Pulls a gun on you.
The British police?
The British police. And that is where we are going to end today's episode.
Nice. No! You cut out the British police for ruining the end of your episode. Sorry.
No, I think it's like, excuse me, the fuck?
I mean, in many ways, if a cop pulled a gun, I'd be less like, oh no, a gun. I'd be like, in this country?
In England?
No, I would immediately
be
like...
Yeah, that was the wrong reaction, actually. The end of that episode should have been like, you gonna run, Marcus? He pulls a gun and I go, where'd you get that?
Couldn't he get my hands on that?
There's a special form for that.
You can have guns?
Is that
I learned
antique?
How to do fucking magic. I punch people. I could have just been using a gun this whole time. Do you understand how easy it would be to solve a mystery if I just had a gun I could point at everybody? People get awfully talkative when you point a gun at them.
So if everyone could let me know where they can find you online, starting with Liz and going counterclockwise.
Hi, I'm Liz Campbell, and you can find me on the internet by searching my address on Google Maps.
Fuck it. Pip.
Hello there, or goodbye even. My name's Pip Gladwin. You can find me at Pip_Gladwin on Twitter, or in Rusty Quill's Chapter of Multiverse, or possibly in Season 3 of Victoriosity, which I might be in if my auditions go well. So, you know, wish me luck.
I hear it's a great show that everyone should subscribe to.
Yeah, everyone
also
should
a really
definitely.
Great show and everyone should
really,
listen to
if
it,
you yeah. like London, let me tell you, this London's even greater.
It's a good show. It's a good show. Check it out.
Great show. Check it out. Steampunk Detective Victoriosity. It's good. Naomi.
I was Naomi Thinksit, the sad girl under your bed, and you can find me at Naomi Thinksit all over the internet, or you can find my show at The Kilda, The Secret of St. Kilda. It's spooky, and it's not been recommended by anybody at this table with the same amount of joy or enthusiasm
also
at any
show.
It's too late!
Yeah, this was lovely. Thanks for having me on your show.
You're welcome.
I'm very bad at it.
No.
And I'm going to point at you with my microphone now. But still keep talking.
Christ alive.
And I'm Zachary Fortis Gum. You've been listening to Realms of Peril and Glory.
But don't You're give fine. Any money to the Patreon.
I'm under your bed and shit. You got to end the episode, Zach.
I don't know, fuck it, dude. There's a Patreon. It's patreon.com/lightandtragic, where you can honestly make a huge difference in making this show be really super helpful. I fucking produce Ox Venture. Go watch that shit. It's pretty dope. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ZachFG. That's ZACKFG.
You need to donate to the Patreon because the amount of voice editing this is going to require
Oh my God. It's going to bankrupt.
We're not
real
behaving.
Team of voice editors. Yeah.
Anyways, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time. We're, I don't know, maybe we'll be more put together. Maybe it'd be worse. Find out. Bye.
Bye. Hashtag Reds and Vibes.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.